Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on, it's about keeping everything secure.
I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. Listen to Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Crappens. Don't wait a week for a new video. Join our Patreon at the Crappens On Demand level for instant recap access. Link in description. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as always, is the lovely and dependable Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, dependable? Jesus, what am I, a horse?
Just kidding. Hi, how are you?
Great. It is Wednesday here in the world of Crappens. And we are talking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Before we get into that, of course, come join us on Patreon where you can listen to bonus episodes. We are doing The Traitors as our bonus episode these days. We just recapped it yesterday, so go listen to that. We also do Crappens On Demand where you can watch us on video. You can see our smiling faces, which is really fun. Sort of rounds out the full Crappens experience. And of course, in March, we are going back out on the road with the Mounting Hysteria Tour. We are going to go to Cincinnati, Minneapolis, Toronto, Charlotte, Atlanta, DC, and Philly in March. That's all in March. And we got a whole bunch of other shows in April and in May. But we will pester you about those when we get closer to that. But for right now, come join us. Tickets are at watchforcrappens.com. We cannot wait to see all your faces in the audience because there's going to be a lot of shit to talk about, a lot of shows. So for right now, though, it's going to be about Beverly Hills.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
What a funny
good one.
Episode.
Another good one.
Really good one. Really, really. And let me tell you something. Kyle Richards made me laugh a few times, and not laughing at her. I was laughing with her. I could not actually believe this.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. Is Kyle making me chuckle? This is weird.
There you go. She's getting you back. Slowly but surely, she'll get you back. So this is season 14, episode 12, The Land of the Free, the Home of the Shade. We're still at Sutton's house. You know, I have to say, we were talking earlier this week in our Traders Recap, available on Patreon, about Tom Sandoval's kind of redemption, in the audience's eyes at least, where it's like you realize, yeah, I mean, he's still Tom, but Tom was funny before he fucked up, you know, and that it took a really long time for Tom to redeem himself. We were just talking about that. And I was thinking, you know, a case study on how quickly somebody can kind of redeem themselves is Reba. I mean, Reba, the first week she was on, was probably one of the most hated parents I'd ever seen on a Housewives show. Like, immediately. Yeah. The comments were, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, she's just, you know, she's like a sticker in your butt. But by the end, I was like, wow, I like Reba. Who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, the woman in 3 weeks went from a complete villain to, huh, I kind of like Reba.
That sometimes happens with Bravo, right? Like, sometimes someone could have a villain edit for an entire season and you hate them. And then the next season comes and you're so excited to see them. I mean, remember Camille Grammer season one, And then Camille Grammer, season two. Season one, she was the most loathed person on Bravo. Like, people hated Camille. And then season two, it was like, oh my God, Camille Grammer. I can't wait to see her. Oh my God, icon. You know,
well, yeah, like, but Camille changed, right? Like, she changed it up because she didn't want to be the most hated. So she went from being villainous, like, just downright dirty, and then the second season she kind of changed her game, whereas I think someone like Reba is more heroic in a way because she didn't change shit except she smiled once, and so people are like, oh my God, okay, maybe she's just kidding, and so they liked her.
Yeah, so everyone's packing up and to leave Augusta, so we're still, we got some like bonus Reba time essentially, and Garcelle's like, I don't like this view. It's like, it's what view? Your ass in my face. No. So then they laugh and everything. And then we go back over to Beverly Hills. And Erica is, like, she's getting an install with some furniture. And something called Harbor comes and delivers some chairs. And she's like, I love Harbor. Harbor is so nice. And now with my promo code, you can get Harbor chairs for 65% off. That's right. That's Harbor. Harbor by Erica Jane. Collab.
She should be doing hot dogs because I've never seen somebody say, I want my once in the year hot dog more times than Erica did today. Like, are you selling the hot dogs? Jesus, woman, have your hot dog.
I can't wait to have my hot dog, my once a year hot dog.
Hot dogs are having a moment on Bravo, I guess, between this and Southern Hospitality. Yeah, but she should be selling hot dogs. I would eat them. I would go track her down and have an Erica Jane hot dog.
Now, there's a commercial that makes sense. Erica with just hot dogs being thrown at her face. You know, finally.
I want my once a year kosher beef hot dog brand. I will not say until I get some endorsement money, but you know who you are, Shebrew Shashnal.
So then we go over to Doritome, and she's talking to Bose and inviting her over for the 4th of July party. And so then we are back with Sutton. So Sutton is in the kitchen, and Avi is just ready to get the fuck out of this house. Avi is just like, please get me away from this woman. And Kyle comes in, and she's still sweating from her run, guys, because she's really healthy now. So it's really hard. Like, I'm still sweating because I run.
You know, and then Kyle says, by the way, Sutton, we have like a little confession. Aww. And then Reba walks in from the outside, but no one notices that Reba's there. And Sutton's like, what's your confession? Garcelle says, well, we were listening to your conversation with Reba. That bitch. Glad she's not here. Rest in peace. Anyway.
So it sounded like it went well. And they're like, oh my God, you made up with your mom. And she's there. She's just suddenly there in the room, you know. And she goes, wow, well, hello. She goes, well, it sounds like you had a fun time chatting. Sound chatty this morning.
Seemed chatty this morning, which is, could not. See, what's great about Reba is that she can deliver a very simple line and make it so devastating. You seem chatty this morning. I was like, oh. she can really just like fill it with so much nuance.
And sounds like this trip has been emotional, and it's just going to be hard to leave because I haven't felt this way with my mother since sophomore year in college when, you know, mama came, when we walked, we talked. I didn't want her to leave then either. And I don't want to leave now. What happened on the sophomore year in college? Kind of, was she drunk? Where your mom was nice to you that one time.
I'm about to say, I think that was the last time Reba acknowledged Sutton's presence. So Kyle's like, are you going to be happy to have the chaos gone? Like, it's going to be sort of sad to have like two working actresses out of your house, right? And Garcelle's like, yeah, are you going to cry that you're going to miss us, especially me?
And she says, well, I'll be glad that some of you are gone. But then she laughs. She's like, ha, 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 I'm just joshing you. So look, everybody's just so close now. And it's time for them to leave. And Kyle's like, normally, hold on, guys. This is a feel sorry for Kyle moment, everybody. Normally, I'd be excited to leave. But now I just have, like, a big empty house. So, like, yay me. A chair stuck in a doorway. Can't be moved. Poor Kyle. Don't cry out loud.
Please stop singing in my home. Jesus Christ. Those columns are strong, but not strong enough. The roof will cave in on us.
Oh, what I'd give to hear Garcelle's chattiness right now. But yeah, Kyle trying to make a moment out of this. Trying to, like, oh, back to my empty home of shadows and sadness. Oh, relax. Just call Faye. She'll come over. So then Sutton's really happy that everyone got to meet Reba and everything. And Sutton pulls Reba in for like a little hug. And she goes, okay, mother, I'm going to hold you once a year. And you get to say, I love you. And Reba's like, really? Now, when's that going to be? Because it's not going to happen right now.
And she's like, well, I guess Christmas. I mean, that's a good time. And she goes, well, I'll write it down and hold a little sign up. How's that? I don't remember my mother saying that to me. And she's like, okay, well, let's not go back into your mother's history. Okay. I love you, mother. And she goes, I love you too, Sutton. And they're like, well, fireworks go off in the background. And then she just kind of gives like, a bow like, there, are you fucking happy? Yeah. I did it.
And they're all so happy, and Sutton is happy, and Kyle is like, oh my God, it just reminds me that there's no one to tell me that they love me when I go back to my house that's empty.
God, it reminds me of the time Mauricio taught me he loved me. Let's see pictures of us skiing together in Houseman. So they hug, and listen, I know I'm being cold to Kyle. I get that she's sad and she's lonely because her house is empty. You left your husband. I don't know with Kyle. I just... like you're in the middle of some woman's in the house in the South, and you're still making about, I'm so alone.
Yeah. All alone. So Sutton's basically like, well, she said it. I have succeeded in hearing the three words I think I've ever wanted to hear from one person. I love you. So they all do like a hug, and it's like a group hug. And Reba is actually, it's actually really cute because they all hug Reba. And you can tell that Reba's probably like, oh, this is so trite and inappropriate. And we don't need to hug. We don't need to hug to show that we like people. It's our actions that tell it. But when they come out of the hug, she has a big smile on her face. So she liked it.
Yeah, her boyfriend's going to be getting some tonight, that Ken guy or whatever his name was. And then, you know, she does the real sweetest thing in the whole time, which I miss my Meemaw doing, which is when they say bye like they're a baby asking for a bottle. They go, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Get out of here. So back in Los Angeles, we're at Boza's house. And Nico. He's just sitting on the side, like holding up a little mirror. We find out later he's actually bedazzling it, but I thought he was just looking at himself in a little mirror. I was like, oh, Nico.
This cracked me up. I think this is, you know, in character development moments, this is a huge one for Bose, that she makes her assistant bedazzle mirrors from Walgreens so that there's jewels. I thought that was so fucking funny. So she's waiting for her cousin comes over, and they're like, sisters, me and my cousin. And look at that mirror. All I'm saying is the back of my mirror needs to match my shine. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Tina comes in. That's her cousin. And they say hi and everything. And they comment on the mirror, et cetera. And they're like 10 months apart in age. So they're very close. Even though she's not a sister, she's like a sister, et cetera. So she says, Tina and I talk so much that I think sometimes we talk telepathically. I can be by text. It could be by text. It could be by phone call. It could just be a mind meld. And guess what I tell her? I invented ESP. Congratulations. You're using my personal network of mind talking.
And she's doing that thing where she's putting gold flakes in their tea, which is weird, or whatever they're having, their drinks. Yeah. What is it with gold flakes? I mean, I get it. I hear that silver, like if you go to the chiropractor, he'll give you liquid silver. And that's supposed to do something, I don't know, for health. So I don't even know. But what does gold even do except give you a little speck in your poop?
It just makes people feel fancy. But look, you know what? It's better than mercury. So Bose is like, well, yes.
We got better than botulism.
Better than E. coli. So I don't know why I said it like that, but felt fun. So they're having a beverage. Okay, there's a lot of hellos here. We're going through it here. Okay, so Bose is like, okay, well, I don't know where to start. Look, so there's so much on my mind. I mean, so many things have been happening because I'm a mature woman. You would assume that I have to get checked out to see if I'm still viable to carry a baby. And Keely's ready, right? So she's basically having some doubts about whether or not she should be carrying a baby at her age.
You've got Nico. I say put it in Nico. That's what I suggest. It'll come out wearing like a fabulous little duster and have a bedazzled mirror. So they haven't met with a fertility doctor yet, but she's in Vegas and she's flying here because, you know, LA, no fertility doctor. It's important. It's important to go to a different city to get your fertility doctor.
Yeah. It's a shame that there's no fertility doctors in Los Angeles. But luckily,
well, it is hard to find one. A fertility doctor in LA that isn't there waiting at birth for the baby to pop out so they can start marking up its face with a Sharpie and being like, you need to get higher boobs. Okay, I'm going to need higher boobs from you.
To be fair, it seems like there is only one fertility doctor in LA because they all seem to go to him on these shows. Like MJ went to him and everyone, this, that one guy in Beverly Hills who's like, so we looked at your follicles and you can have a baby. So like maybe he was booked.
Yeah, he's the Instagram one. He's like whatever people get free fertility shit for posting on Instagram or whatever. So she's going to have a very fancy one. But the problem is Keely. Because, you know, Keely's going to have to get tested too. He's going to have to get every kind of sample. Drip, 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 drop, sample. That's what they're going to do to him.
That was my favorite when she said, drip, drop, sample.
So she's like, well, what if we don't get the results we want? You know, and you're rich. You just morph the baby into whatever you want. I mean, can't we do things like gene designing and stuff where you like pick the genes that you want your baby to have? Or I don't know, you can go through like sperm books and pick the perfect sperm and stuff. I don't know, you're rich enough, you just figure out how to have the baby you want. You know, I feel like it's up to the poor people who don't, we're stuck with whatever we get, you know, whoever you fuck is what you end up with. But I feel like with her kind of money, you can change that baby's looks, its posture, its hobbies, everything in the womb, right?
I mean, there's a very simple answer. You know, at a certain point, you're so wealthy, all you do is this. You go to the store, you get a bonnet and a rattle, you give it to Nico and say, you're my baby now. Just make Nico the baby and just tell him he's not allowed to speak English for 2 years. And then just enjoy it. Just make him the child.
Yeah. Oh, babies. I don't know. Look, if I was going to go to a fertility doctor, I would just be like, fill me up with disappointment so I'm not phased later. Because I think, like, no matter what you do, your kid's eventually going to come out, and at some point it's going to go, fuck you.
Yeah. Well,
if it's maybe a garum baby, at least. So then right, Tina's the like, well, how does this Keely guy feel? She's like, I don't know. I called his number, and someone with a different name answered. But then I called it again, and he answered. So I'm not really sure. That took a while to clear up. I do not trust Keely. I don't trust him for 2 seconds.
So basically, Bose is like, part of me wonders, like, does he want to get off the train, but then is afraid he'll disappoint me by wanting to get off the train. But like basically, it's just like, maybe we shouldn't have a baby. And then she tells the story about her first pregnancy. Her daughter was named Eve, and she found out she had preeclampsia, and it was, you know, became a high-risk pregnancy, and ultimately she lost the baby, and it was very, very traumatic. And then when she had Lael, like, that entire pregnancy was very scary because every time she went to the doctor, it was like PTSD and terror. And so she's wondering if she should do it again, to which I say, no, don't do this. Don't do this again. Get a surrogate, but like, don't put yourself through that. Don't put yourself through that agony and put your body through that danger.
I know. Jeez. We live in a time where everybody can have babies whenever they want. You know, we have Kenya Moore having a baby at 50 or whatever. And, you know, to each their own. I'm very tired. I'm almost 50. I mean, I've always been very tired, though. So I can't imagine having a baby when I was like 16, you know, but especially now. And then in 20 years or whatever, when you have to go visit that kid's college or whatever. No, fuck that. Here's what I say. Just get more maids, you know, just keep getting maids, just keep treating them maids. Well, teach them, you know, be like, your piano classes today.
I believe the housekeepers are the future.
Well, for real, though, seriously.
I had to just put bonnets on anything, little baby bonnets on anything, make them your children. But yeah,
bring your daughter to work day. It's like, and look. Watch the way they can fold a diamond into toilet paper. You go. You show them, honey.
So then we go to Kyle's house. And Kyle is like, hey, Siri, how hot is it going to be today? It's like, the National Weather Service has issued an excessive warning. Daytime temperatures will hover around 94 degrees unless you live at home and alone, in which case it will be a cold 55 degrees. Sorry.
This just in. We just got the weather. You're alone.
Damn it, Siri!
Sadness with a chance of bleakness.
So Sutton is getting her glam done because I'm going to Dorit's house and she's having a 4th of July barbecue party. And they're like, wow, that should be fun. She goes, well, we're going to play nice. Let's do it for the country. And so then we go to Erica's.
Hasn't worked so far.
Huh?
Hasn't worked so far playing nice for the country. These days in our country. A little political commentary, people. Discord.
So then we go to Erica's cabana. And she's calling Kyle because, you know, it's the housewives thing where they're each calling each other like, are you going to the party? What are you wearing to the party? I'm going to the party. Are you going? But are you going to wear a bikini or one piece? So we're doing that scene. And Erica's like, are you excited for today? I just got a couch made out of Nathan's hot dogs from Harbor Furniture. Erica, you're mixing your influencer jobs.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen. And ultimately, you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
In the 1980s, a rosé swept the country.
Hey, Mike, I really like this White Zinfandel.
Well, good, good. Now put it down. We're going to try another one.
White Zin became America's top-selling wine. But most don't know that this sweet drink has a sour history. What began in 1986 with counterfeit bottles.
A big fraud, a multi-million-dollar fraud.
Sent investigators chasing one of the most powerful families in the business, the Lichardis. But the closer the feds got to them, the more dangerous things became. It's a story of deceit.
At the time, I was paranoid.
Threats.
You touch my kids, I will kill you.
And murder.
With a .22 caliber bullet to the head.
What started with a scheme to mislabel wine spilled into a blood-soaked battle for succession. Welcome to Bloodvines. You can binge listen to Bloodvines exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
So, by the way, what was it that Bose said to Kathy and everybody that you told me off camera, but now I'm going to bring it up on camera because I want to start a hate campaign against her?
Oh, she said you were kind of cold to her.
And we see a flashback to the Kathy dinner where Bose is like, she was kind of cold to me. So Kyle's like, I mean, I'm the cold one now.
Yeah, you're the iceberg.
Now I'm the iceberg? Are you saying I'm kind of like the unspoken star of the hit movie Titanic? I mean, I appreciate it as a working actress. I appreciate getting another notch on my IMDb, but that is so mean. And also kind of like deserving because, like, honestly, I am pretty famous.
No, because I'm the ice queen. I thought you could be the iceberg and then we could hang out together. Get it?
No, but, you know, she's Kyle like, has to talk to you because she has no one left. So she just hangs up. So now we go to Dorit.
And her sidekick and iceberg. It doesn't totally make sense, but sure, we'll go with it.
Just their cousin that no one wants to hang out. Just the iceberg lettuce, the head of iceberg lettuce, just sitting over there like, how do I have any vitamins?
It is funny. The more you think about it, the funnier it gets. Because you think of Erica being an ice queen on some sort of like icy throne with like maybe a white fur thing and a scepter and like blue crystalline things around her. And then Kyle is an iceberg in the water. Like
Kyle's just iceberg lettuce floating in the water.
She has a little fascinator that's just a leaf of iceberg lettuce. Yeah.
So then we go to Dorit's house and she's setting up for her 4th of July party. And there's a snow cone thing and a bouncy house. And so basically Phoenix comes out
And she's dressed all cute and stuff. She's like, oh, look at the theme. Red, white, and blue. My little beagle. Should we look around and see everything? Let's have a look, BB.
Don't name your daughter after something that goes on a 4th of July hot dog.
My little mustard and my pickle. Oh, come over here. Let's look at the bouncy castle.
So the house that PK still has a part of. They'll be out of here.
Yeah.
Who ate my pickle?
Are you allowed to celebrate 4th of July while also celebrating a fake British accent? It feels like it's a mixed message there.
It's a day of sorrow for me and my people. Well, some of them. We are celebrating independence from my accent.
So, so she's like, you know, I've always made a big deal out of holidays with the kids. And then we see these photos, which I can't believe we've never seen these photos before. But family photos, first of the four of them dressed like the Addams Family. And then as the Incredibles, which is funny to see PK dress as Mr. Incredible because it's just not someone I would associate with that concept. And then just the Christmas photos, like I had no idea that they were low-key doing these family portraits. And now I know even more why Kyle doesn't like Dorit, because Kyle likes to be the one that takes the family portrait with her family.
It's like, what are all these pictures of Halloween? You know, it's like really sticking her. So then she's like, oh my God, it's like all the pictures from the movie Halloween. I'm not in any of them. So then Dorit's guests start coming, and we don't know any of them, really. And then Dorit is very sad, waxing about PK. She goes upstairs to change, and she's like, this year, PK is not here, and it definitely feels like there's something missing. I've just left sour cream and onion out on the countertop, still nothing. It's like coming down on Christmas morning and finding no cookies eaten. Is Santa dead?
And then so Sutton arrives first. So Dorit goes upstairs to do, she's wants to find a necklace. She wants to go upstairs and put on a necklace. So Sutton arrives and she walks in and it's just emptiness. Like there's no one on the first floor. There's some kids running around outside, and Sutton, who is, you know, on top of the fact that she's also very, very all about manners. So the fact that there's no one there to greet her is very offensive, but then that she has to also wait is also very offensive. And she just starts muttering to herself. She's like, well, the idea that I would have people come to my house and I'm not there to greet them, or Avi is not there to greet them, and someone's just not there. I mean, a roach isn't even here to greet me. I mean, this just boggles my brain.
I guess I'll just wait. So she sits down, not even on the couch. Was she sitting on an end table? What is she sitting on? But she's like, I will not even sit on that couch. God knows what's happened on that couch. So she just sits on like a little end table or something and looks
like
at her
a showy display of discomfort. Like, well, I'm not going to sit on the couch unless I'm invited to sit on the couch. So I'll just find something that I'll be here in the corner, minding my own business, because clearly I'm not welcome here. So I don't want to disrupt the seating area too much.
Yeah. And, you know, Dorit's upstairs looking for a stupid chain. She's like, I'm just looking for a booty chain, and I don't want to lead people downstairs, but I've got to find my chain. And so it's just like, well, I guess I'll just sit. No one's here to invite me onto the couch, so I guess I'll sit on this end table. I just don't appreciate this. And then we get a classic Dorit making somebody wait scene, where we just see the person get more and more annoyed as the time ticks on the screen. And now it's 1:22, and then it's 1:27, and then it's 1:30. And then she sees a kid fall down the inflatable slide, and she's like, I don't know those people. Disgusting.
And now it's 1:35 p.m. and Sutton now has nothing left to do. She's like, I guess she solved Wordle. So now she needs other activities. And she's like, well, I really should study the California map. It's like, wow, things are getting really dire down there. I'm going to study geography while I wait. So now
and
it's
1:39. And so it's basically 20 minutes and still there's no one to greet her. I mean, I can see being annoyed. If she got annoyed at this point, I would be like, okay, I get it. But she walked in annoyed, you know, like, how could you not have somebody to greet me? Quiet down over there. You're lucky that the house is even still standing and hasn't been taken yet by the bank. Okay.
I honestly think, like, yes, she was being a little fussy, like really leading into the manners aspect of I should be greeted. But I think that honestly, after 5 minutes, I think you like you have every right to be extremely annoyed that you're just sitting there. I mean, you could even say after 3 minutes, if you're just sitting there in someone's house and they haven't even come down to say hello, and you're like, what do I do? I'm just going to sit here. I mean, a lot of people would just say, hey, Dorit, I'm here, or text her or whatever. So there is that aspect of it. But making someone just wait downstairs for 10 minutes, let alone 20
the horror,
minutes.
The horror.
It's crazy. I think it's totally disrespectful.
Well, there's also a whole party outside that sends just like, I'm not talking to those people. I mean, if I was at that party, I would have gone out and been like, hello, I'm Mayor Ronnie. Is this your baby? Let me hold it. Anyone want to take a picture of us? I'll take your vote in September. Thank you.
Voting is in November, sir.
Not for my election.
I know you'd be. Well, let's be honest. You would be holding all those babies. You would have been hugging.
Yeah, I mean, it's a party. You know, you go in and you say hi to everybody. But it's set, and so she's like, "Well, I guess I'll just sit here with a stick firmly planted up my butthole, and I will wait on an end table."
I would do the same thing, because I'm like, I don't want to go outside and make conversation with a child or the child's mother or whatever. I'm gonna sit in the air conditioning inside. Because it's 100 degrees out.
At the very least, it's a chance to go through someone's shit. You know what I mean? Or if it's your enemy, you can start planting evidence around their house for your murder. I mean, I don't know. put your wallet in their, like, vegetable bin in their fridge. And then later she could be like, someone stole my wallet. Wait a minute. It's by the iceberg in the fridge. And Colin would be like, wait a minute.
Now, well, one thing, though, is that Dorit's mom, we find out in a little bit, is actually there. So was Dorit's mom upstairs? Because it seems like Sutton knows Dorit's mom. So Sutton could have gone up to Dorit's mom and started chatting with her and having small talk. But honestly, yes, she could do all these things. It's still wrong. I'm sorry. It's still wrong, because if I go to someone's house and then I have to make 20 minutes of small talk with someone I don't really know, but I've like met passing, like I would be like, oh my God, this is so annoying. This sucks. I'm mad now.
Yeah,
I can't sugarcoat it. I would be mad.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. So Dorit's like, I just need another chain. I need one that says mama. So she wears one that says mama, you know. So then now Kyle is there. And, you know, first of all, you know that the mom called Dorit upstairs and was like, the bitch is here. And she's like, oh, yeah. Let's make her wait. You know, I have a feeling that they knew very well that Sutton was there and just made her wait. The mom's like, don't make me go out there alone. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. So now Kyle's there. And she's like, should I wear this? Like, I'm feeling self-conscious. Should I put a shirt over my sleeveless thing? I mean, I just didn't get a spray tan.
Yeah. And then she sees that there's like there's a table right in the middle of the foyer. And it has all these photos of PK and Dorit, and she's like, oh man, what is this, a shrine? This looks like an anniversary party. And Sutton's like, oh, I didn't even see this. I didn't know I was even allowed to look at it, because I had no one here to greet me, to show me what I can and cannot look at in this household. So I've just been sitting here on the corner of the couch. Like, listen, I still have pictures up of Mo and me also, but like, not at a round table as you enter the home. Okay, like, there's like a shrine to PK. It seems like a little strange.
I mean, okay, but weren't you mad that Mauricio changed one picture in his own office? Weren't you just crying about that for 3 episodes?
I have to assume that Dorit has kept those pictures up there because she wants to keep normalcy for the children, honestly.
I think she does it so when Wells Fargo comes to take back the house, she can go, he's the one you need to be chasing. Him! It's this one right here!
So Kyle's like, so have you said hi yet to Dorit? She's like, to whom? And then she like, Sutton's like, look at all this emptiness. So then Dorit's still upstairs, and she has now chosen her chain, and the chain she has chosen is one that says mama.
So, yeah.
And she's like, I wish I had another chain.
So then Sutton is still being ignored, because now Kyle goes to talk to Dorit when Dorit comes downstairs. And Sutton's like, well, I'll just sit here and do the same thing I've been doing. Stewing. Glad I could come. Glad. Can I leave now? Can I go now? I have never been so offended in my goddamn life. I'm leaving. Not quite, but she will get there soon. So Kyle's doing the whole like, oh my God, look at all the pictures of PK. Jesus Christ. I mean, it looks like biscuits cooking. Could you just take all these pictures down? I'm trying not to eat carbs right now. She's like, thanks for making me look at it, Kyle. Thanks a lot. And so Dorit talks a little bit to the mom. You know, the mom comes in and says hi. And Dorit's like, well, seeing Kyle and Sutton be the first to arrive at the party is a little bit awkward. They were definitely not my first choice to arrive. In the spirit of having fun, that's exactly what we're going to do.
By the way, Dorit, look how cute Sutton's bag is. Look, like, oh my God, it's a bag. Look, we're bringing it with the Patriot. And Sutton's like, well, we're trying to bring the red, white, and blue look. And Dorit's like, oh, I'm sorry, this is so kind of you. And she takes the bag away, like sort of jokingly, like, this is mine now, because, you know, they're all obsessed with bags. And she's like, well, I think you owe it to me. And Sutton's like smiling, like, ha ha ha. She goes, I most certainly do not. She's like, no, you most certainly do. And then it becomes clear that Dorit may not actually be joking. She's actually being serious and holding on to that bag way longer than it needs to be held on.
Listen, you're the only one out of the three of us that hasn't had expensive purses stolen for insurance purposes. Your turn. It's like, nope, you better get that back.
I mean, even though today is all about having fun, I can't ignore the tension between Sutton and I. Last time I saw Sutton, she interrupted me when I poured my heart out about Jagara.
And then we see a flashback to her saying,
and so, ladies and gentlemen, my children, they asked me, are mommy and daddy getting a divorce? Well, I'm so sorry. This has been a lovely conversation, but we have to get back out on that 101 freeway. Okay, let's get into the Sprinter van.
Well, I was in the middle of a story. Well, we have to go. And what's her buns? Sutton said on the after show that production made her do that because Dorit was sitting there giving a soliloquy, and they were like, got to get on the road, people. And Dorit knows that, and she's still giving Sutton shit for it. Dun, dun, dun.
Shady.
Yeah, I mean, just, but like, even without knowing that, put your pain in a capsule. You know what I mean? Logline it. Okay, pretend that, just give me the elevator pitch. Give me the elevator pitch of what's going on with you and Jagger, okay? For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids asked about divorce, didn't know what to say, little weird. All right, got it, understood.
So she's like, well, I'd be prepared to forget about most things that Sutton has done or said to me if she gives me this handbag. That bitch has a tight-ass grip! So she won't give it up. So now they go outside, and Garcelle comes and kind of trips, and she's like, whoa! Jeez.
Biggest nightmare for any Real Housewife is tripping and falling on camera. I don't know what I would have done if Garcelle had fallen over. I don't think I would have liked to have seen that.
Because they can't get back up. Their pants are too tight. Like, their clothes are too tight. Like, at one point, when Sutton throws down her little tiara or whatever later, and Kyle goes to pick it up. I mean, that was one of the best parts of the show for me, watching Kyle try to bend down to get that thing. She's like,
It is such a funny concept. When Sutton threw the tiara on the ground and Kyle had to pick it up, I mean, just saying that alone is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
So Garcelle arrives, and then we get this random shot, which was so funny, of Phoenix wearing a grand jeté, and then all the women are like clapping. I just love the random moment of ballet happening in back. Arabesque.
That's so coming from my house when I was a little kid and you my parents' friends.
Look what I can do.
Grand jetés.
Yeah, I did it for a while. I thought I was a ballet dancer for a while because I saw it on TV. And my mom was like, you could do anything, honey. And, you know, it's the kind of confidence that gets people put in jail, you know? Just show up on the stage one day. It's me!
Rondel Brushnikov. I still do many grand jetés and arabesques and patmas for Dom. I don't do them very well, but you know, I try to be a little dancer myself every now and then.
Oh, there you go. Keep it in the bedroom.
Right. It's mainly in the kitchen while I'm cooking.
Don't say game, okay?
Yeah. I have to say my lines could use work. So Garcelle's like, oh, Sutton, what are you drinking, honey? And she goes, oh, it's some watermelon something. Oh, is there alcohol in it? Yes. Okay, gotcha. She's not tons. So it seems like it's just like a little patter. Then Dorit goes, oh, didn't you ask Sutton what she's drinking? And you asked, is there alcohol in it? I mean, honestly.
I thought that was funny, personally. And then son's like, oh, Dorit, shut up. You are such a bitch. She's like, excuse me. And don't say there's alcohol in it. I mean, and there's alcohol in it. I mean, don't start with that. It's not nice. It's not nice.
So sounds like Dorit has never apologized for perpetuating a rumor or a myth that I have some sort of drinking problem just because I have alcohol with every single beverage I have every single day. And then we see a montage of Dorit saying, gee, Sutton is a drinker and I would not be surprised if she pours a little vodka in her coffee in the morning.
I mean, that shit's funny to me. It's always been funny to me. I don't care. And also, while everybody's so infuriated about this, let's not forget who brought this story up in the first place was Kyle. This was Kyle who made this insinuation to start. So Sutton's like, that is just hurtful, you know? And two, it's not true. And now she's just being a bitch to be a bitch. So Dorit's like, well, if you could do me a favor and not call me a bitch in my own home.
This becomes a real sticking point. Sutton goes, well, don't start with the vodka stuff. It's not nice. And I'm gonna go. So Dorit's like, Sutton, I'm not looking to argue with you with what I just said. I just said, don't call me a bitch in my home, for fuck's sake.
Well, I'm so sick of fighting with you. Thank you for having me. Seriously, thank you for having me. I'm gonna go. Well, I'll just call you a bitch and go. Is that what we're doing now? Bitch, bye! And so I am out. Is anybody going to follow me? Because I am leaving. I'm leaving right now. Who gave her that little tiara, by the way? She wasn't wearing that when she got there, was she? wearing this little gold tiara the whole time?
I think the tiara somehow arrived between the living room and the cabana. Like, they clearly walked through some sort of children thing or another, and the tiara was placed. Clearly, if the way I read it, just because I know how I operate, and I, unfortunately, am, as we've already kind of discussed, a much more aligned with Sutton and and her emotional swings than I'd like to admit. This was not about the alcohol. This was her being still pissed that she waited 40 minutes before Dorit even acknowledged her. And so she was so mad about that just like the alcohol thing was just something that she could like grasp onto and just explode on.
Well, she does get super mad when you talk about her drinking, though. And you know who else does that, which is odd? Alcoholics. So anyway, Kyle's like, Sutton, please don't go. Please don't go, Sutton. She's like, why? Why? I'm not going to get anywhere with her. I'm not going to do this. I mean it. I am leaving. I'll leave in as much time as she made me wait. Okay, that's how long this walkout's going to take.
Yeah, so Garcelle's like, well, you know, she's a little sensitive after the coffee vodka remark. She's also, let's face it, probably drunk from her breakfast. Dorit's like, well, I'm a little sensitive, Garcelle. She's like, well, that being said, can I get a watermelon vodka?
Garcelle's like, I don't care. Just bring me one. Yes. Also, Dorit's the one who saw no problem when she, across the table, went, you know what, Camille? You're a stupid cut fitness. Whatever she said. And now she's like, you're calling me a bitch in your own home.
But it wasn't in Camille's home.
So silly. I hate that rule. You can't call me a bitch in my own home. Then don't be a bitch in your own home. Like, what do you want me to do? You don't get free reign just because it's your house to abuse me and call me an alcoholic. How dare you, ma'am?
Not on America's birthday. So Dorit's like, are you kidding me? Garcelle and Kyle are running after her. Not even a thought. Not even a consideration from either one of them. No. Run after little crybaby. Make sure you have a drink in your hand. Well, you know, that's that's fine.
That
and good.
That was funny.
But also, we just watched like 5 years of you guys all doing this with each other to anyone who like disrupted the Fox Force 5. So now you get to see what it feels like for us.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So to me, it's like, Lordy, have mercy. So now Sutton's almost made it to the front door, and Kyle's running after her, you know, in those tight ass jeans. Like, oh, hold on. You just hear, I'm trying to run, but it's really hard. Can we just talk for 1 second? It's like, what, Kyle? Garcelle's like, listen, I know you didn't want to come here, and you were the bigger person. You came. Good for you. I'd like to celebrate it by awarding you a drink with alcohol in it. Here you go.
It's all right. I've already had six. Listen, if she's going to fucking do this shit, I'm going to go. So Garcelle's like, no, I get it. I get it. So I haven't heard Sutton talk like this. She's pissed. And I think wasted. And I think it's because she wasn't getting along with Dorit, but she still wanted to take the high road and she came. And then this is how you're coming at her. I'm like, okay. I think Dorit was shitty for making Sutton wait. I think this thing about the booze, Dorit's reference was so subtle, so minor. I didn't even pick up on it until Garcelle made a big scene about it. I was like, I thought Dorit was asking for clarification of what Garcelle asked. Like, it was such a small, if that was a dig, it was so small. And the fact that that Sutton is like losing her mind over it. And I'm often Team Sutton with these stupid little fights, but like, I'm sorry, this is too much.
Yeah, it's a lot. I love when Garcelle says the most obvious thing to the audience, but acts like she's just solved a mystery. She's like, I think that Sutton might be offended because she wanted to take the high road, but now Dorit's acting like this. Oh, wow, that's good. You're very sensitive. Well,
but I like how Garcelle tries to start talking Sutton down. She goes, listen, it was a bad joke. And you know, she's not good at jokes. She can't do jokes. She's very bad at jokes. You know, she's bad timing. Just, it's not good. It's not, she needs to go to Groundlings or something. You know, it's her. She's just trying.
She is not joking. So Bose comes up in a crazy dress. I don't know where half these people are going on this show. But she shows up in like a little baby blue kind of like wedding cocktail dress. And she's like, hello, it's me. And she goes, excuse me, bitches. And they're like, oh, no, don't use that word today. We're not going to start with that word.
They literally are like, that word just started a bunch of shit. And it should be noted at this point, Sutton, Kyle, and Garcelle are gathered at like a little bench right by the front door. So they're all like, clustered right there. So Bose is like, what's going on here? So then Sutton's like, ah, it's too much. So she slinks away from the bench. And
she goes
like
to hide behind a corner.
Yeah, I think it's like the hallway to the classroom or something like that. So she's like, I'm going to stay in here.
She's like, she goes to hide in the hallway. It's so fucking funny. And so Bose is like, what's going on? You started something, Garcelle? She goes, no, why are you saying me? She goes, I was just joking. I said bitches. No, don't say it. So Dorit comes in and she's like, oh, Bosey. And hugs her. And she's like, honestly, perfect timing. I was waiting for normal to arrive and good energy. And then my little Easter egg came. Thank you.
So Kyle's like, guys, can we just like try to hit the reset button maybe? And Garcelle's like, it was just a really bad joke. She's like, no, and I know you're sensitive, Sutton. I know this feeling. Like, we know this feeling. And she goes, well, what she did last year, what she put me through, no, I'm gonna go.
I am gonna go. So Garcelle's like, we understand. We really do. I was being nice about getting that nasty ass watermelon drink. It was terrible. Garcelle's like, oh, it's not good. I just ordered one.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a weak drink. I mean, what's even the point of having it?
So she's like, well, just hang on. Now, can't we just all get another nasty drink? Come on. And it's like, I am done. God. Sutton just Suttoning. So then Sutton rips off her gold tiara and throws it on the floor. She's like, that thing is stupid. And Garcelle's like, a kid can get hurt with that, Sutton. Please, let's be serious.
The last thing this world needs is more kid on tiara violence. So Sutton's like, fine, I'll go pick it up. So Kyle's like, no, I'll do it. I need to do a squat. So they go pick up this tiara and everything. And Garcelle's like, all right. Listen, Sutton, would you be willing to talk to Dorit? She goes, no, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to give her the satisfaction of knowing her diss about me and that watermelon drink got to me because it did not most certainly get to me whatsoever. So she's like,
but
okay,
what if she apologizes? And Kyle's like, I'll say something. So now she's going to talk to Dorit. And she's like, oh my God, it's not lost on me that Sutton was berating me for leaving Bose's wellness day, and now she wants to walk out. She does that thing her head and crosses her eyes. Yeah, but she was berating you because you were berating her in the first place for doing walkouts. See, it's like hard to find where this all begins. Like, who was the first immature storm out? You know, we have to go all the way back in history.
Yeah, but that being said, Sutton was the one who most recently said that you can't be storming out. I mean, Sutton's a hypocrite.
Sutton's a big
She did the whole sisterhood thing. Yeah. Don't storm out. And then she's the first one to betray the sisterhood and, you know, storm out. So we get it.
But this shit's funny. I don't care. I love it. And I love a housewife walkout. I love especially this show, this season they're doing, and where they never really walk off. They just walk to a different room. And they're like, I will sit right here. I'm going to be by the front door. I'm going to show her. I'm gone.
Yeah, this whole thing of them all clustered by that front door and the throwing the tiara and the back and forth, it actually, I was like, this show is starting to approach a little bit of some Salt Lake City chaos, and Beverly Hills never goes in that space. So I was really, really enjoying the silliness that was happening here, this foyer fight.
So now we go to Kyle and Dorit. So she's like, can I talk to you for a second? I don't think she's going to stay without some encouragement from you. And I don't know if you want to do that or not. She's like, well, it sounds like the two of you, more than anyone, are going to be the people that are going to get her to stay. Now, it's certainly not going to be me. She called me a bitch. And guess where she did it? In me own home. What would Jennifer Lopez think? What would Mark Anthony think? Sure, this isn't their home, but I've lived in one of their homes. They'd be very upset that someone at their former address has been called a beach in their own home.
Do me a favor, don't do that. Sisterhood, remind her of that she's the one who's pledging the sisterhood.
So Dorit then walks away. She's like, my cooler friend is here now, so I'm going to hang out with Bose. So Dorit then goes, I mean, she called me a bitch in my own home. I should be kicking her out. But gee, instead, she's the victim. I wasn't the one who brought this up last year.
And then we go to a flashback of last year of Kyle, Garcelle, Dorit, Crystal, Camille Grammer, everyone standing around Kyle's bar and talking about Sutton's drinking. And Garcelle saying, do you think there's something wrong with her? And this is your moment where Kyle says, like, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's your first drink or your fifth. So, yep, it was Kyle who started it. I mean, we knew that, but it was nice to see the validation right there.
But you know what? It's also Sutton just drinking too much and getting mad and having fits. I mean, I think as someone who often drinks too much and cries a lot and has fits, when someone asks me if I have a problem with alcohol, I just say, my only problem is that my glass is empty. Could you please fix that? Like, I don't care. Like, who cares? I mean, I just had a drunken fit. Now's not the time to cry about it. You know what I mean? I think you shouldn't be so defensive about someone making an alcohol joke.
I think if someone called me an alcoholic, I would just respond with like a Sonia Morgan tagline. I would just be like, I have a taste for luxury and luxury has a taste for me.
Or just burp in their face. You know, keep it simple.
Or just say, you know, I'm often on top, but sometimes I like being a bottom. The people are like, wait, okay, this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I'm just going to back away slowly.
So Dorit's like, well, why are you making such a huge deal over a duke? Unless, of course, there's something very big underneath the surface, the surface, the surface.
Like an iceberg? I'm an iceberg.
Well, why isn't it kind of a joke that she said, shut up, bitch? I mean, who cares? Like, why are you taking the word bitch so seriously? I don't know. Everyone's so ridiculous, and that's why I love this show, because it literally becomes the entire episode fighting over this stupid stuff. And Sutton, guess what Sutton's saying? I'll give you $100 if you can guess. You can't? She's going, I am leaving! I'm leaving!
Gongo!
I am gongo! Hello. Gongo. Hey, does anyone have a little sticker that says, hello, my name is? Because mine would say, hello, my name is Gongo!
Hi, I just chartered a plane to Africa because I'm going to go visit the Republic of Congo.
So, no, I'm sorry. That would be if I wanted you to stay. I'd say, please, you can't go. No, I'm Congo. No, Congo. 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 Damn it. Beat me in my own game.
So this whole episode is kind of playing like some sort of stage farce, right? Because it's crazy. And then the door swings open and here's Erica to make her entrance. She's like, hello, everyone. Wait a second. What's everyone doing here in the foyer?
I'm wearing two straw braids that were furnished by Nathan's Harbor. Everybody. Hey, Mitchell.
Okay, everyone. Don't hug me. I got body makeup on. So what's going on here? What's everyone talking about? Why are you all sitting on a bench here by the foyer?
And Sutton's just like, I'm going to go. And Erica's like,
oh my God, I haven't even gotten past the front lawn, so somebody's already in tears. I don't want this. I just want a hot dog. My once yearly hot dog. Where is it?
Okay, so what's going on? Tell me it quickly because I got to get to the hot dog.
And Sun's like, well, Dorit brought up the whole vodka thing. She goes, oh, yeah, yeah, you being an alcoholic and a drunk. Well, we all know that, you know. And she's like, well, and I do appreciate it. And I don't appreciate it, I should say. And I don't want to perpetuate the myth that I don't want to be around someone. And I don't want to be around someone who's going to do that. But sorry, I can't speak straight because I'm a little drunk right now. But you know what I'm saying.
The myth that Sutton's a drunk. So now Kathy comes in and she's like, hello. And meanwhile, Bones is like, is that Kathy? Why is everybody over there by the door? She goes,
because that's what Sutton does. She gets him upset, calls you a bitch, and then gets him to surround front duels.
Well, I feel like I don't want to be left out. I'm going to go over there. I'm going. So she comes in there and she's like, can we all just enter the house?
Well, she's leaving, she said. Now, listen, here's what I want. My once-a-year hot dog.
And at this point, I'm like waiting for Jennifer Tilly to walk in. Jennifer Tilly's like MIA all of a sudden. Because it's like felt like every 2 seconds, someone else is walking through the door, be like, I'm here. Wait, what's going on? So Bose is like, it's just, you know, like, why don't you just come into the house? And she's like, well, I am not comfortable here. She's like, yeah, she was in the house. Now she's leaving the house. Apparently, she's just trying to get her to either go out the door or just come back in through the porch. But we're kind of stuck in this foyer place right now.
We're waiting for the prop woman to give us a bottle of Tito's to leave in the driveway so she actually makes it out the front door. No offense.
It's her own kind of Hansel and Gretel moment. Just leave a little trail of vodka on the gravel.
This little blue cheese olives just along the ground all the way to Sutton's house. It's the only way she gets her exercise. So then Bose is like, well, come on, the congregate here at the front. It's like Dorit is hosting a party in here. Can we go to the party? And Garcelle goes, oh, stop being Dorit's spokesperson. Okay, ma'am, in charge of the office of the Strack. I don't think you're really in the place, but.
Yeah, Garcelle rarely has like a really strong hypocrite moment, but this was one of them. And Bose is like, girl, I am not Dorit's spokesperson. She goes, sounds like it. Well, it looks rude. And all right, you know what? You want to cuddle her, then you cuddle her. So Bose is like, I am pissed that these ladies don't have any couth to at least get up.
How she said it made me laugh. I even said it to Bueller today. I was like, Bueller, get some couth.
They don't have any couth to at least get up and come into the party and behave like civilized people.
So now Kyle's like, I mean, at this point, it's just like actually annoying because, like, once again, Bose is Team Dorit without knowing any backstory, and she just comes in and automatically defends Dorit without knowing anything. Like, you're gonna scold me. And Bose is like, well, I just said, like, nobody needs to coddle her. And Dorit's like, did you say that? Did you say nobody needs to coddle that alcoholic? She's like, no, shall I try again?
Please. Yes, because she's being coddled. You're the hostess at the party, and it looks rude for everybody to be over there when they could actually be over here. Now, Bose is correct, although also this foyer is really like the ground zero for issues about etiquette, because yes, it is rude that they're there in the foyer and they should be coming into the party, but it was also rude that they were there in the foyer and the host didn't come down to greet them. So, I mean,
and they're also all being rude by sitting there like slinging around the F word and the B word when there's children in the house. Like, if we're just going to start clutching our pearls, I can clutch them with the best of them. And I love when Sutton's like, she needs to stop that fucking shit. I want some more fucking manners.
I think we can just safely say these are just all a bunch of rude people.
Yeah, it's Beverly Hills. That's what's so funny about it. And I think one of the long-lasting classic things that keeps people coming back is that Beverly Hills, they're rich, so everybody assumes that means they're classy. No, they're trashy. They're this is Los Angeles. This is trash with money, okay? And that's why it's so funny, because they all think they know what manners are. And you all don't know manners. And Dorit, you say you know manners, you're married to PK. I mean, if that guy's not a stain on a tablecloth.
Yeah, if you hit big time while Will and Grace was still on the air, then you're not old money. And this is just some nouveau riche shit that's going down. And
I love it.
It's amazing.
It's classic.
Although actually Sutton seems like she's sort of old money, maybe. Oh no, she's not. I think actually her family was like middle class and then she married old money, right? But she just acts old money.
Yeah, they made money, I think, while they were together. They built their empire. So Sutton, guess what Sutton's saying? It's nice to actually have Sutton have a change of topic, at least in this episode. She goes, I am leaving. I'm leaving. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go.
Well, she's now doing the thing of like, well, now I've ruined the whole party. I've had a tantrum. I threw a tear. I've ruined it. I'm going to go. I'm embarrassed. You haven't ruined it. You're drunk. Come on. Let's go to the back. It's like, no, I'm out. I'm gone. Go. Okay. I want to leave right now. And I've had it with Dorit. She has gone after me for years. I'm sorry that your businesses have failed and mine have not. I'm sorry that you can't have a clean divorce and I have. I'm sorry for all of your problems, but your problems are not my problems. And I do not want to be your punching bag. I am just tired of it.
And this is where Sutton loses people. She's such an asshole. Like, what are you even talking about? First of all, your business is not doing great. You're selling jumpsuits that say name them for like God knows how much money. Your store in West Hollywood is closed. I think she opened one in Texas or something. But you're doing that all with husband money. I mean, come on, lady. Give me a break. Sorry, your businesses can't last. I mean, come on. You own Sutton.
It's you type in Sutton right now. Her store in West Hollywood closed, temporarily closed.
Like, but I have a website. Well, guess what? So does Beverly Beach. You want to start that one?
Yeah. So does GNA. But and honestly, like, it's fine if your business doesn't succeed. But if you're gonna like actually act like you're a better person because your business has succeeded when actually your business is quote unquote temporarily closed. Then come on now. Oh. But that being said, love it. I love an asshole.
You know what? I was searching for businesses that also have websites, and I searched Kyle by Aileen 2, and that did not show up. It just showed up that it closed. But guess what does have a website? Aileen 2. She just kept Aileen 2. She just kicked Kyle off of it. You go.
Aileen. She's like, it's not Aileen 2. It's Aileen only.
Aileen 2. Good for Kyle. And she sells little kid shoes with like rainbow unicorn horn straps and glitter shoes and, you know, a couple of caftans. So you go, Aileen, too. So how dare you disparage Shahadi? Aileen, too, Sutton?
I want to know about Shahadi. What's her name? Shahadi? Shahidi? Kyle by Shahidi.
Oh, Kyle by Shahad, right? Kyle.
I don't remember.
Kyle by Shahida.
The loungewear queen.
Kyle by Shahida is still around. You can get it at kylebyshahida.com. Okay. Loungewear, dresses, red jackets, eye patch things.
Floppy pajamas.
Yeah. Robes with Paris on them or something. No. Kimonos. Wow. She went down the kimono route. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Whole kimono line. Okay. So Kathy's like, did she really leave? And Garcelle's like, well, yeah, she did. Can I at least get a hot dog? Somewhere in OC, Emily's like, they're coming after my lines.
Emily's so mad. So now Dorit's talking with her guests and everything. And then Garcelle gets her hot dog. I swear to God, if we mention hot dogs one more time, I'm going to have to get a fucking hot dog after this podcast. I am like craving one so badly. So Kyle's like, oh my God, a cheeseburger. Amazing. Did I tell you that like my niece is like married to Fatburger era? Yeah. So kids are jumping in the pool and Kathy's like, by the way, I brought a swimsuit with me thinking that we were going to go swimming. And then Rick goes, that swimsuit is way out of line. Whoa.
Way too sexy, Kath. Way too sexy. So then she sees some churros and she's like, oh, those look good. What are those, tacos? Save me some of those. So now Erica and Garcelle are talking, and basically they're regathering in that backyard area, right? And so Erica's like, why'd the bitch leave? And Garcelle's like, well, she didn't feel welcomed. And Dorit's like, how am I supposed to feel in me own home that she called me a bitch? In me own home.
Somewhere in the hills of Encino, we hear an echo saying, I'm gonna go.
I'm gonna go.
The two of them are just gonna say those two things over and over again. A bitch in my own home.
Well, you did lead the charge, Dorit, when you said, of course there's vodka in her drink. And Bose goes, oh, well, and that equals calling her a bitch in the house? I mean, come on. Bitch in the house, alcoholic. Two different things.
Somebody walks in my house and calls me a bitch. I say, those are fighting words, and would you like to be my baby? And Kathy says, well, I don't think any of us are mean girls. I mean, maybe I'm just used to it. I'm like, yeah, you kind of have like the most famous like mean girl daughter of all time. Not saying that Paris is mean, but she just sort of like is the image. I don't know why I'm suddenly like hedging that. I'm like, I mean, sorry, guys. Sorry, Paris is really nice, guys. So Erica is like, well, we're all mean girls, you know? So Dorit's like,
excuse me.
I need to check on my BBs and see if they can still look me in the eye after I've been called a beach in my own home.
Well, I'm going to get my
Jagger, come to me.
Unfortunately, Jagger is being transported to the hospital after he stepped on a tiara. It's very sad. big gash in that foot.
Where's my one kosher hot dog for the year? God damn it.
Garcelle's like, can I get another watermelon drink, please? It was actually really good.
So Erica goes up to the hot dog bar and she's like,
what are those, relish or is it just pickles? Hey, mister, I'm going to steal your hot dog. I'm going to say the same thing to you as I said to Tom's ex. Stealing your hot dog, bitch. Stay in line. Hate me later. Sorry, it's my once a year hot dog, Tim.
That should be the name of her next album, Hate Me Later. So,
once a year hot dog should be the name of her next album.
Hate Me Later.
Well, my hot dog's like a python. Like a python.
There's a guy dressed in like mustard dancing in the background. Like, look, I think it's great that y'all were there to support. But I think, again, in the spirit of sisterhood, can we all just rally around Dorit? And Garcelle's like, well, where was your spirit of sisterhood when you came over to us and called us rude? I'm like, okay, Garcelle, she was not... You're being ridiculous.
They're all ridiculous today. I love it. And Bose goes, that is being a sister. That's coming to tell you to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Well, I feel like every time you're telling us what to do about Dorit, and you don't know about the whole situation either. She goes, well, let me just put things in relative terms, all right? I call things as I see them. # Guth. And she goes, well, so do we. So do we.
Pie chart, Google Sheets. You know what I'm saying. It's like, okay.
So Erica's like, all right, Garcelle, who's been up Sutton's ass and been her spokesperson since she got here a few years ago?
And Erica's back on Broadway, so she's got red leather gloves and she's doing a lot of Broadway hand things. She's like,
falsy, 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 falsy.
And then we see some of Garcelle's greatest hits as a mouthpiece, which I can't believe we went back to Diana Jenkins' land with Diana. Be like, you want a new wheeling? And Sutton's like, well, I'm very sorry about being on a bed rest. Oh, your sorry is so fake. And Garcelle goes, Diana, that's kind of shitty. Oh, are you her bodyguard? I was like, oh, I forgot how awful Diana was.
She was the worst. So, you know, I mean, she has a point. Bose is up Dorit's ass, but Garcelle is also up Sutton's ass. So it's a weird fight. It's a weird proxy war. But I love this kind of little argument between Bose and Garcelle, because really, at the end of the day, neither one of them care. They're just like, whatever. So they kind of fight it out. And Garcelle's like, well, it seems like you're one-sided. I mean, did you not say that she has not been welcoming to you? And she goes, well, yeah. I mean, it's not like I think that Kyle's a cold-hearted bitch. I didn't say that. I just said we haven't connected. And Kyle's getting all. She's like, okay, it's my turn. It's my turn. So she starts like shaking her face a little. And she's like, I mean, it's funny that you said that, because actually I felt the complete opposite. Like, at times, the times we spent together, I actually did feel like we had a great connection. Okay, roll the clip. Roll the clips. And it's Kyle being like, hi, Bose. You see? Yeah.
It's all like this light, superficial stuff. Like, I like your picture frame. It's like, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's nice. See, we did connect. So Kyle is like, Kyle is like, I was just like really surprised to hear that. And like, just like really hurt my feelings. Well, part of the reason I asked Kathy, because, you know, the way of it is just that, like, the reason why I thought you were cold and, you know, I didn't want to know you. I wouldn't have asked shit. And I feel like I've had deep conversations with almost everybody and I haven't necessarily had that with you. And so that feeling for me is like, oh, Kyle's a little distant. She's a little cold. I'm like, Kyle is not distant. She's not cold. She just has a very vapid personality, and you're just not going to get a deep conversation out of her. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. You need to talk about purses, you know?
Yeah, shopping. She can shop anywhere, guys.
Yeah, talk about Birkins, and she'll be there. So Bose is like, the vibes aren't vibing with Kyle, okay? She's not opened up to me. There's no warmth. I just, what do I do with that? I mean, there's nothing to do. Give me something to work with here. This is a television show, okay? Is this an improv class or solo? I'm not doing it. And so then we see where Kyle visited Bose in bed. Like, that's supposed to be a great example of Kyle being warm, but Kyle was only there to turn Bose against Dorit in the first place. So that didn't really work.
She was sort of snappy. She was sort of snappy with her, too. And so Bose is like...
I know this fight is stupid, but I think that Bo's going to Kyle's sister and shit-talking her sister was shitty. I think that was shitty. And I think if Kyle was like, look, it hurt my feelings. You went to talk to my sister. That's not cool to do. And if you have an issue or you want to get closer to me, why don't you call me and talk to me about stuff? Like, I think that, but Kyle just doesn't know how to argue, you know? So now Kyle is turning it into like, well, but I am warm and here's why I'm warm.
I feel like we didn't really clock it at the moment because there was other stuff going on, but it's not really cool to say to someone's sister, even if you know the sister is like sort of on the outs. You can't say like, oh, your sister's cold. What you can say is, I haven't really connected with your sister yet. I would love to know what are some good like approaches I should take with her. Like, what are the ways in? How do I crack that nut a little bit? But don't say your sister's cold. So Kyle is like, well, I just feel like maybe I was being singled out because I'm single and I live in a house alone. And like, because of what was going on with like Dorita me, and that like, because you got to know her first, that you like have like a loyalty, like automatically to her, which was like really clear from how you came up and scolded us out there. I'm like, yeah, Kyle, but you wanted to do the same thing with Anna Marie last season. You literally brought in Anna Marie and was like, okay, go fight about the esophagus for me. Now she's upset that someone's using the same technique.
Oh, God, she does it all the time, Kyle. Like, I've invited Camille to the party, you know. She's like, well, even though you say you don't have preconceived ideas, your actions say otherwise. Do you know what it's like not even be able to reach the top shelf in my kitchen?
So Kyle's like, Bose is like 100%. She's been totally biased against me. You know, of course she does not like want to admit that because it would seem juvenile, but like that's what happened. Like, people don't realize how much implicit bias they have against Kyle's in this world. So Kyle's
Kyle really suffering. We all need to take classes.
I'm Kyleist. She's biased.
Oh, God. So then we have this moment where she's like, well, you're hard on me. And Bose is like, okay, well, how would have I been hard on you? And then Kyle has to dig. And she's like,
like in conversations. Like, remember when we were in the Viper Room and you said, put your phone down and block PK right now? That was so mean. That was so mean.
And Bose is like, what? Like, that's so stupid. So Kyle's like, okay, well, you know what I already feel like?
Okay, Judge Judy.
You know what? Kyle's pre-written a line, and you know, because she has, like, the special come up on her. She's like, okay, is my makeup good?
You better watch out, Judge Judy.
It's like, it's not a gif-able moment, Kyle, but nice try.
I have to confess, I laughed, but asterisk. I laughed because when they said, coming up, and they sort of set it up like Bose said something like, Kyle, I think you're cold. And Kyle goes, okay, Judge Judy. And I thought that was so funny. But then when it actually played out in real time, the timing was much, it was not snappy.
Clunkier.
And so I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh in real time, but I laughed in promo time, if that makes sense.
So she's like, so she goes, you've never even met PK. And Dorit goes, wait, why does she need to meet PK? And she goes, well, I'm talking to her right now about the situation, Dorit. And she goes, about my life? Well, I can chime in.
It's about my life. I'm chiming in. Bitches clocking in.
It's like, oh my God, she's not even talking about your life. She's talking about a conversation they were having about your life.
Okay, I'm not unduly trying to Heisman you. Oh my God, like iceberg, not Iceman. No, Heisman is a different thing. But anyway, but I'm not trying to push you out.
Your pussy tight. God, what I'll do to fuck a Heisman winner right now.
So God's like, well, I feel like I've just been sharing so much with you one-on-one in the group. Like, for instance, like the other day I bought a new bag, and the other day I bought another bag. And then the other day, I thought I figured out how to open up my French door, but I didn't. I still can't open it up. I've been sharing a lot.
Andrea's like, well, I don't even know what's going on with you right now, Quill.
Just what are you talking about?
Well, I don't. I literally thought to myself today, what's going on with Quill?
Something that everyone thinks about all the time. She's like, well, I can't have you like, listen, I can't with you having to back up every little thing. It's so annoying. It's actually so annoying.
Oh my God. I can only last so much longer. I'm telling you, I have stamina, but this shit is exhausting. I mean, not even a once a year hot dog can help me right now.
I mean, she could literally say anything and you're all over her ass. Like, it's gross now. Just stop it. Like, I'm having a conversation with her and everything she says, you have to back up, Dorit. Just stop it.
She goes, I didn't pick up anything that she said. I've been quiet. I just said, if you're going to talk about me, leave. Talk about me, leave with me. And then Kyle goes, oh, yeah, well, this is what you're doing. What is Kyle doing?
That's such a crazy thing. I was like, now that's the gif. That is going to be the gif. So Kyle's like, Dorit does not know when to not talk. Like, this is between Bose and me, and we're in, like, a good place now. So can you just, like, leave it be? You don't have to be upper ass 24-7. Oh, hold on 1 second. I got a phone call from Jamie Lee Curtis. Hey, Jamie, what's going on? Okay. Anyway, like I was saying, don't be up people's asses.
So Kyle's like, you know things about me. You know that I'm separated from my husband. You know that I'm married for 28 years with me. 38 years. We have 4 children. We have a chair in the doorway that I can't carry outside. What else do you need to know? Who's Morgan Wade? How long have you been dating her? Did you leave your husband for Morgan Wade, or was that after? And did your husband cheat on you? Because you keep insinuating that he did, but you've given no proof and he said nothing. So, there. To Kyle. Start.
Kyle, do you need to scream? Do you need to scream? Do you need to scream?
Girl sounds like she's not screaming. I will lower my voice. Okay, what else do you need to know? Because I think that that's a lot. I brought a lot. Also, I do Amazon Lives every once in a while and pretend that I like jogging pants. Anybody else?
She's like, well, you know, from the beach, from Garcelle's house, did we start fresh and clean? Or are we going back? Tell me now, because I need to know.
Fresh and clean, fresh and clean. Well, it feels like I'm being clawed at. And so Kyle's like, okay. Look, I'm going to start from scratch. And trust has to start from scratch for both of us, okay? Let's go upstairs and talk about everybody else. So they decide that they're going to still be friends, and they calm down. Because this fight wasn't even about them. The good part of the fight was between Bose and Kyle, and Dorit just completely interrupted that fight and ruined it. So now Kyle is going to pretend she's going to make up with Dorit, because it saves her from having to actually fight with somebody who knows what they're doing, who is Bose. So she's like, yeah. Peace.
Yeah, now they're going to go up. And also, by the way, like... Whoa, don't go upstairs. This episode's so fun. I don't want to see you two bonding. And by the way, did we not mention my favorite part of the entire episode where Dorit goes, don't be a douche? That was my favorite.
Goes, don't be a bitch. Don't be an asshole. Don't be a douche.
Did we mention that? Did I just miss that?
I don't know. Brain? I think we did skip over that part. So Dorit's like, Coyle, I just want you to know I do love you, and I want to take you somewhere you're comfortable. The closet, let's go. So they head over, and then Kathy goes, yeah, and don't forget, you love each other. And Bose is like, don't interpret for them. She goes, oh, okay, you're right.
I actually kind of loved Bose snapping at Kathy like that. It wasn't
well,
really
she was joking, because she goes, you might get in trouble with that one.
Right.
Trying to say
it
something.
It wasn't a snap. But it still was like a little bit like no one really has ever told Kathy, don't do this, even in a joking way. And I kind of like the Bose is like, listen, crazy lady in a bucket hat. Shut up.
So then they go upstairs, and then Kathy's like, well, with this group, you know, let's just not make mountains out of molehills. It's molehills. Is it molehills out of mountains? Is there a hill of Moes? How do you climb that hill? Does that hill take other rocks from other mountains to make its own mountain bigger?
I think you get what I mean. So they go upstairs, and Dorit shows Kyle her upstairs and her bedroom and her closet, and it's messy. And this is like, oh my goodness, a messy upstairs area. This is totally showing Dorit's trauma, because she does not. She's not a messy person. So Kyle, like,
she can't afford a maid anymore because her ass is broke, because her and PK have been pretending to have money for years now, and now it's gone. That's what it is. But okay, we'll lean into the trauma for the
sake
of the show.
Well, nothing warms Kyle's heart more than seeing a friend in total disarray. She's like, wait a second. Your life kind of sucks right now. Okay, I kind of feel better about myself. Great. Thanks. Thank you for doing this for
me. I have a better closet than Dorit. I can forgive her.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was, right?
So they talk about their marriages and what do you do? And like, it's just so hard because I was with him, but now I'm not with him. And oh, la, 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 la. It's the same thing over and over.
What about Kyle? There's a dead orchid and Kyle points at it and just laughs. Just, I can tell you're really messed up because you let this orchid die. And Dorit's like, yes, I don't ever let orchids die. Your orchid's dead. I was like, Kyle, your bedside manner could use some work.
So they start talking about closets, and Kyle's like, I mean, like, Mo left, and it was just separated, so his stuff was still in the closet, but now I've started to take over his closet, because, like, what else do you do? Do you know how hard it is having more closet space?
Another deep moment from Kyle. And then we see a footage of her, like, moving some clothes over on a rack and putting, like, putting, like, a blouse where Mo's blazer used to be. Yeah. There, I did it! So,
I'm every woman. It's only me.
Anything so they're that asking, you want to, baby.
Sorry. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Jeans.
I can bring all the bacon, fry it up in the pan.
So, Doreen's like, well, you take a little bit that's yours, but are you thinking he's going to come back to the closet? And Carl's like,
in the beginning, in a separation, you don't know what it really means. And then you're like, well, I'll just take a little bit of the space. And before you know it, his shoes are all over the ground.
I'm just like, well, you started out for 6 months, right? And how's that going? She's like,
yeah, but like he bought furniture for his bachelor pad instead of having his house staged. So I was like, oh, and now he's buying furniture? Another blouse is going on that rack.
Every time Kyle has a grievance. She just adds another hanger onto it.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it's what I ask myself every day. Like, it feels like we're a family, you know? And she's like, but do you want to be back together? I mean, I just want to take this time to, you know, queer bait a lesbian somewhere and think about myself. And I don't know, I'm not doing anything with the time.
I like that Kyle is relating all of this to the lockdowns during the pandemic when it's just like,
I thought I was going to learn to make bread and, I don't know, learn to play the piano. I still don't have any bread and I still don't play the piano. I'm getting back together with Maurizio.
I have stressed dreams about the Duolingo owl saying, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? And I'm like, I don't know.
Camiseta, okay? It's a camiseta.
Kyle, why are you saying blouse?
Lo siento. So Kyle's like, I think maybe that was just an easy way to say, like, what do you know, like, I'm leaving for a year. I don't know. So Dorit's like, well, do you want a divorce? She's like, I mean, if I'm not going to, I don't want to stay like this. I mean, a chair stuck in my French doors, birds flying in and out because I can't close the doors, can't move the chair, can't turn on the TV, that remote. How do you even use a remote?
Have you ever tried to change a light bulb on a 20-foot ceiling? It's hard.
So she's like, well, if we're not going to get back together, we're going to get a divorce. And she goes, but are you going to get back together? She's like,
that's next year's storyline. I'm really going to make this last as long as I can, okay?
So she says they're in denial about their situation, and they just keep going on. And, you know, I think that's good. I'd like a good Real Housewives of New Jersey kind of a divorce where you just don't get divorced, or you're divorced, you still live together, or I don't know, it doesn't have to be like that. Just stay together. You're rich as fuck, and you can do whatever you want, apparently, so why not? Just stay together. Keep it simple, people.
Yeah, Kyle feels like she's in limbo, and she says, I'd like to do what they're doing, like going off and doing whatever, like, you know, like getting new furniture, things like that. I just don't know how to do that. Like, I don't, to be honest, like, how do you get furniture? Do you just go to a store, you sit on things? Like, it's so strange. What do you do?
Every time I've asked Faye to furnish my house, she just comes back with wicker baskets and plastic hangers. I just don't know what to do anymore.
And Dorit's like, here's what we do, Kyle. We just have to live. We just have to live, Kyle. It's like, oh, for Christ's sake. Dorit eating a potato fresh from the ground.
I will live.
And you can't call me a bitch in my own home because I'm living. So Dorit says, you know, but yeah, I haven't been able to catch my breath, which is something that she's also said a million times this episode. Like, anytime it's like, Dorit, where were you? Well, I haven't been able to catch my breath, which is funny because you were singing that song last week. And Dorit's like, you don't understand. Would I choose to be in this situation? No, I wouldn't. And I think PK had lived with the thought of separating, and he had mentally ready when we separated, whereas kind of took me by surprise, but to be fair, everything takes me by surprise. I saw a peanut M&M on the counter. I go, ooh! And then it turns out it had been there every single day, and every single day I come downstairs and I get surprised by it. But this one really took me by surprise. I'm just kind of digesting it all. Not the peanut M&M, but the divorce.
Well, we're not getting back together anytime soon. That I can tell you, Coyle. And by the way, Coyle! I would like a minute to just think about what I want. Oh, my breath. What is he doing? Is he acting like a single man?
And Kyle's like, well, I mean, like, I think we would know. I mean, it's kind of hard to do that in our world without knowing about it because the paparazzi are everywhere.
So then we see one weeklet. Oh, by the way, I have an announcement to make. I think it was on this show we were talking about small airports, and I was talking about El Paso and how there's still a knife shop in there. Well, I haven't been to El Paso in 20 years, at least the airport. And I heard that they did eventually get rid of the knife shop like a decade ago. So to everyone looking for a knife in the El Paso airport, sorry, but it's a decade gone.
That's too bad.
Goodbye, knife shop. I believed in you.
So Teresa's like, Coyle, listen, if the man wants a divorce, we're going to get a divorce. I can't stop it. But did he say divorce? Well, he's mentioned divorce, but only in a threatening way. Oh, okay.
Well, he has said things like, you'll die with nothing in your account. But I'm not really sure what he meant by that. You know, he goes off sometimes.
So then we see 1 week later. Voiceover. Mauricio Mansky was caught with a mystery woman. The real estate mogul touched down in Mykonos, where he was photographed collapsing into the arms of a hot blonde wearing a sheer cover-up over a dark bikini. I love they try to make it sound like news headlines when they're like, and here's what she was wearing.
I know. Did I not finish this episode? I don't remember seeing any of this. Or maybe it got cut off because I watched this on YouTube TV. And this... I watched it on
YouTube TV and it showed it.
I watched this as a screener and I don't seem to remember any of this. Did I not...
That's why. Yeah, well, maybe they added this in later. But it's we see that Mauricio was caught making out with that real estate chick. And then we see another headline. Mauricio Umansky's mystery woman identified as Russian-born actress who's 20 years younger than Kyle Richards' ex and is in a movie with Alec Baldwin. And then we see him kissing this girl in front of an Avis rent-a-car, which I thought was really funny. And then Erica is FaceTiming Kyle, and she's like, how are you, Kyle? Did you see this? Did you know it was coming, Kyle? Tell me the truth about it.
Here's what I'll tell you. I'm waiting for my once-a-year hot dog, Kyle.
And that was the episode. God, it's weird that I didn't see weird that I did not even register that last part there. Thanks everyone for listening and being here. Go get your tickets to our live shows at watchwhatcrappens.com and check out our Patreon also. And we will catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens.
Bye, bye everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Jamie, she has no less namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Ringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody Holds a Candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're Ride or Die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
She Eases Our Woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, Hotels.com here. Tired of the everyday? We know a hotel that's ready to unwind this weekend. Book hotels with spas in the Hotels.com app. Find your perfect somewhere.